This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Howard Levy. This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm very pleased to be speaking by phone today with Howard Levy. How are you doing, Howard?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Thank you so much for making time to be on Musicians Spotlight. Howard is calling us from the Chicago, Illinois area, and great to be speaking with him. Levy Land is the name of the website, levyland.com. A two-time Grammy winner with Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, Trio Lobo, with Eugene Friesen, who's been on the program before, and Glenn Velez, and a number of other projects, almost too many to mention, but we will talk a little bit more about some of those other projects. Howard has also released a classical CD featuring the Concerto for Diatonic Harmonica and Orchestra, and the first concerto ever composed for the Diatonic Harmonica, and also as a contributor to recordings with Kenny Loggins, Dolly Parton, Paquito de Rivera, Styx, Donald Fagen, Paul Simon, way, way, way more artists than just that. Great to be speaking with you, Howard. One of the things I wanted to ask you right from the start, because as I talk about a diatonic harmonica being one of your instruments of virtuosity, that and the piano, what exactly, for those who are not familiar with a diatonic harmonica, what exactly is that?
Well, it's the one that most people see when they see someone playing like blues and folk music. And it's a 10-hole instrument, and it's got 20 reeds that are designed. It was designed in Germany in the early 19th century to play folk music, German folk music. And so it's got the notes of the major scale, most of them anyway. And it's the instrument you hear when you hear people playing blues, usually, you know. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe they'd been listening to it all these years and they didn't actually know that it was called a diatonic.
Yeah, because the chromatic harmonica is the other common instrument, and that's the one that has the button on the side. And that was designed out of harmonica player's frustration of not being able to get all the notes. So when you push the button in, it changes the key of the instrument from C to D flat, so you can alternate between the two positions of the slide and get the chromatic scale that way. But what I did on the diatonic harmonica right away, as soon as I started playing it when I was 18, is I figured out how to play the chromatic scale on it, which nobody had ever done before.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's why I like to make it clear that's what I'm playing.
So the next question would be, I would assume piano came first, but maybe not. I mean, between those two.
Oh, yeah. No. I started playing piano when I was about 8.5 years old, growing up in New York City. And I begged my parents for piano lessons. I had been begging them for years. And they finally said, okay, we think you're old enough now. So basically what happened was, as soon as I put my two hands together on the keyboard, after about 2 weeks, I started improvising and just making up my own music, which sounded very coherent and very nice, actually. and so then the teacher said that I should really go to someplace like a music school. So I took piano and theory on Saturdays at the Manhattan School of Music for 4 years. And that was my basic education, which was classical music.
And then when did the harmonica come into play?
Well, you know, after I had taken the classical lessons, and then also I studied Bach on the pipe organ for about 2 years after that.
Mm.
But right around the same time, when I was about 13 or so, I started listening to rock and roll and, you know, popular music, and started getting interested in that. And then gradually started listening to blues and jazz. And so at that time, when I was 17 or so, I fell in love with the sound of Chicago blues. And the drummer in our band taught himself how to play harmonica. So I figured, hey, if the drummer could learn it, surely I could learn how to play this instrument. How hard could it be, right? So I went to Manny's Music, the famous old store on West 48th Street in New York, and I plopped down my $2.25 and got a blues harp in the key of G, I think, and went over to my friend's house and said, show me how to play the blues. And he said, well, I can't really show you. So I fumbled around for about 6 months until one day, suddenly, I figured out how to bend a note and play blues licks. And that was, I was 18 years old, my first week of college in Chicago. And that, I have to say, was the first day of the rest of my life.
Thank you. Howard, a good number of listeners are going to know your work through Bela Fleck and the Flecktones as one of the original members and now performing with them again. Talk a little bit about, you know, what that brings out in you as a musician and as a composer.
Well, I would say that it was, you know, especially at the time when I started doing it, it was the most complete use of my abilities on both of my instruments that I had ever done in any group. Because usually I was playing way more piano in certain things and way more harmonica in other things. But this was an equal amount to both and a lot of simultaneous playing. So I had to kind of orchestrate my parts as we would sit and rehearse and figure out what would be best in different parts of a given tune. And then sometimes simultaneous playing of harmonica and piano. And so I really hadn't done much of that in public before. So that was one of the big things for me. And also it fully stretched my abilities on both instruments because some of the compositions that Bela wrote were, you know, very unusual and unstandard and made me have to figure out a lot of stuff. We all arranged everything together. And he didn't even write out charts. He preferred banjo tab back then for himself. And everything was, we just memorized everything. I wrote out charts for myself being more of a jazz pianist. And I, because I felt that I had to know exactly what the chords were and I didn't want to leave anything to chance. So I would write out, not for every tune, some of them I didn't need charts, but the ones that had the more sophisticated harmonies, I would write charts out and then memorize them and then throw them away. And some of those tunes were, like I would say UFO Tofu eventually.
I know that's the way. I didn't mean to interrupt, but that, forgive me for laughing a little bit earlier, but that's what was coming to my mind. This was a band that was literally writing musical palindromes, and the idea of trying to memorize that music is just
mind-blowing. Oh, yeah,
that was
actually, the idea for that came from me introducing Bela to a guy named Baby Gramps, who had a song full of palindromes. Bela heard this guy, and it really blew his mind. We heard him live at a festival we were playing. And Bela had always sort of toyed around with the idea of playing tunes backwards. So that's how the tune started, and that's how it got its name, was from one of Baby Gramps' palindromes, the shortest one, UFO Tofu. And so we got together, and I had to write that one out and figure out how to play the lines backwards and then memorize it. So it was a very, very involved process. And when we got ready to do our reunion tour, the one thing that we talked about first was like, okay, I guess we're not going to play UFO Tofu, because if we try to play this, we're going to spend it, the entire rehearsal time that we have allotted just trying to remember what the heck we played. Because that's probably the hardest tune we ever had to play. But the material ranged from stuff like that to very lyrical, slow, melodic things and, you know, a lot of different styles. Really, there was no one style that we played in, which is one of the reasons I enjoyed it so much.
Thank you. This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking by phone today with Howard Levy. Howard, I wanted to move on a little bit to Trio Globo, because that seems like chronologically that's the direction you went in after the Flecktones. And really a wonderful collaboration. As I mentioned, Eugene Friesen has been on the program before, and Glenn Velez is just a marvelous, marvelous musician. Talk a little bit about how that came together and you know, what that was like in terms of like making that transition from one group to the next.
Well, it was an interesting year for me, the year that I, right after I quit the Flecktones, suddenly all of these wonderful musical collaborations started right around the same time, playing with Gene and Glenn. The very first time that we met, the first day, we recorded my tune Lumbriga, and that version of it ended up being the first track on our first CD that we recorded about a year later.
I remember it well.
So there was the rest of the CD was recorded later at a different place. Oh, no, at the same place, yes. But it was an indication of our extreme simpatico that we could get such a beautiful recording on our first time ever even meeting face-to-face.
Yeah.
So immediately that band felt like it had a special magic. And one of the really fascinating things about it is that there's no bass. And the role of the bass player shifts from like the low frame drum to the cello pizzicato lines in the lower end of the cello to the left hand of the piano. But it's more like we're kind of creating three-dimensional musical sculptures with the number of three musicians. You can create an extremely full and fascinating sound without having standard instrumentation. So it was just a wonderful collaboration, still a wonderful collaboration in every way.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today by phone with Howard Levy. Howard, we've been getting pretty deep and inside here on music and composition and styles, and I'm going to get a little Oprah Winfrey
Okay,
here.
you're allowed.
Okay, tell us about Howard.
About Howard, that other guy.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it like that. I'm not going to try to qualify. I'm just going to
All
say,
right.
tell us
Well,
about Howard.
I'm glad he shows up at the end of the night to help me pack. Well, I mean, I started out as a small child. What could I say? But I'm from a very artistic family. My dad was a is still. He's 96. He still sings. So I grew up in a house surrounded by him singing opera and Broadway stuff. He had a sort of a career when he was younger. My mom played cello, went to the high school of performing arts, and they really loved. They took me to museums a lot. So I grew up around a lot of art that was in the home and a lot of music. And my mom read poetry to me and my sister a lot when we were kids. And growing up in New York, you know, you could pretty much find about just about anything, not everything, but just about anything. And so if you were interested in stuff, you'd go, oh, I think I want to go hear some classical music here or some jazz there, or go to see this exhibit at that museum, and or you know, try this kind of food. And so New York is a kind of a crazy quilt of stuff. But I think I had to come to Chicago to get some clarity of mind, because New York is almost overwhelming. And so for me, coming to Chicago, which was a more rooted place and a place that wasn't so obsessed with people who were famous and showbiz, and it's more of a blue collar place. And so I would say that I'm a like a New York transplant who put down his roots in Chicago. But then through music, I've been able to travel all over the world and just play so many different kinds of music with so many different people. To have all of these different experiences, it has really been amazing. You know, people would hear me play and they'd go, wow, this guy can play anything. And of course, I couldn't play anything. It sounded like it, but they would say, yeah, play this. We're so excited to have you here. And I'd go, ooh, I don't know how to play this. And let me practice this for a while. And then, you know, I'd play it. And so that's how a lot of my learning took place, was people being turned on by my playing and saying, why don't you, we'd love you to play this with us. And then sometimes I challenge myself. I say, oh, you know, try to learn how to play Bach flute sonatas or on the harmonica, which I've done quite a bit of, or the second orchestral suite. I've done that. And I've taught myself how to transpose reed, because if I'm playing it on an A harmonica, a B flat harmonica, G, D, whatever, I can read music playing on all these different key harmonicas without having to transpose the music. I just do it in my head. So it's intense being me.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Levyland.com is the name of Howard's website, L-E-V-Y land, Levyland.com. All kinds of great stuff there at the website, including information about Howard's performances, whether it's Bela Fleck and the Flecktones or any of the number of projects that he's involved with. Howard, thank you so much for making time to be a guest on Musicians Spotlight, and look forward to getting a chance to maybe talking with you again down the road.
All right. Pleasure, John.
This is John Floridus. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Howard Levy. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.